And let me be clear, we will keep right on pushing, harder, faster, smarter. My foot will remain planted firmly on the gas pedal because Lansing cannot wait. Our time is now.
In his ninth annual State of the City address last night, Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero said the capital city is unquestionably moving forward, but that the city needs to maintain momentum. The mayor focused on a series of recent successes and future initiatives, but he also drew attention to important challenges, including reforms at the Lansing Board of Water and Light, the city's questionable financial future, and the importance of accelerating regionalism. The speech was against the backdrop of General Motors' thriving Lansing Grand River plant. Our next guest was in attendance to respond. Current state welcomes back longtime Lansing City Council member Carol Wood. Hi, Carol.
Hello. Thank you. We've gotten class here with music and live music here and everything else. This is wonderful.
Friday's the day to be on Current State everybody is serenaded by some kind of music or another.
As long as I'm not asked to sing, we're okay.
We also need to mention that Aileen Bowles, the council's new president, is not well. She was scheduled to join us here on Current State. We hope to have Aileen on the program very soon. Carol, among all the things the mayor said last night, what stood out most to you?
Well, I think hearing about the budget for next year. You know, for the last several years, we've had to deal with deficit budgets and watch the economy and watch businesses close and houses foreclosed on, and understanding that at this current time, the mayor is projecting that we will have a balanced budget, that we won't have the deficit that we've had to deal with in the past, is very encouraging during this particular time of the year.
Now, I want to say this is the first time in 10 years, according to the mayor, that there hasn't been a deficit.
Correct. And again, you know, part of how the mayor has figured deficits in the past has been the fact is if we were doing business the same as we had done the year before, and we have a number of positions that have been cut over the years, so that's made a difference with services. We've also, again, made accommodations as far as the services that we do give out and made changes to those. So what we're looking at right now, from what I heard last night, is the fact that we won't start off trying to put this budget together with a deficit.
Okay, so that means no more cutting, but you won't be re-adding? Or do you anticipate, you don't anticipate the chance to re-add services or re-add personnel?
I don't believe so at this time. Not from what I was listening to last night. Things are getting better, but as he said, we do need to be watching the pocketbook, and that doesn't mean that we decide to start adding positions. Even as we look at the state, with $1 billion that they have in reserves there, we're not hearing that they're saying we're going to give more to revenue sharing to the city. Mm-hmm. If that happened, then maybe there would be another way to look at the budget. But at this point, I think what we're doing is looking at where we are currently and maintaining that.
Let's talk about the next budget document. What areas do you anticipate will be contentious?
Well, as always, we look at services and determine from the public what services they are willing to pay for and what they want to see from those services. And one of the ones that, you know, has been high in the public has to do with police and fire and roads. As we heard last night, you know, our roads that we've been dealing with are our third world roads out there right now, whether we're talking about the middle of winter or whether we're talking about the middle of summer. We are only in our budget able to put approximately $3 million a year into local streets. When I first came on council, we were putting $7 million in for 7 years. Over the years, because there's been less general fund revenue, we've put less into our local streets.
That was $7 million a year?
A year.
For 7 years,
yes.
And we're now down to three.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. You know, and a lot of that has to do with things that we did as far as the CSO project, that's our combined sewer overflow. The loans and the things that we took out for those projects only allowed us to repave and do construction work where the trench was. What we decided as a community was that when we went in there, we were going to fix the road from curb to curb, which meant you were using your local dollars to finish up those projects. And so that meant there was less dollars used in on the neighborhood streets that needed to be repaired.
How much will $3 million get done?
On local streets, and it depends on whether we're talking patching or whether we're talking a complete resurfacing, it varies out there with that. We're doing some resurfacing on Jolly Road. In fact, it was a resolution that was passed last night from Dunkel to Collins, and we were looking at roughly around $1 million in that, and that's going to be remilled and resurfaced.
So there's a third of what you have, of the total you have to spend.
Correct.
The mayor emphasized in pretty stark terms that the city's IT infrastructure has to be addressed. Let's listen back to that.
Last year, I proposed a major new investment in our city's outdated IT infrastructure. Virtually everything the city does is underpinned by computer technology, and our antiquated systems are a catastrophic failure waiting to happen. They must be updated. I am calling upon my partners on the new city council to take up this matter immediately.
Carol Wood, are you as concerned as the mayor appears to be about the IT infrastructure?
We do need to look at the IT infrastructure. It came up during the budget process, anywhere from police officers and dealing with the computers in their cars to firefighters that are using computers as they're entering data when they're at emergency services, to the fact that our tax returns and how those are dealt with. The concern I have is what we're asking, what council's been asked to, is to approve a bond for $2 million. $1 million of that, of those, that $2 million will be used for DuPont for services, and $1 million for new software and hardware. My concern is that if we're looking at paying an outside firm $1 million a year to help maintain our system, at the end of the year, what happens? Are we going to be budgeting again? It's different than buying a new computer, having that computer, and being able to utilize that for the next 4 or 5 years and knowing that you've got that versus the fact that you're paying for a service that next year will cost you another $1 million.
So would you prefer that all of that $2 million be assigned to software?
That was the understanding as we started the budget process, that that's what we would be doing, is using the $2 million to buy software, new hardware, and servers for our computer, not to pay for services. And so there will be a number of questions that we'll be asking through this process. Again, is to get a list of what products we're talking about. You know, what is it that $1 million will buy?
Did the mayor leave anything out of last night's address that you think he should have included?
Well, you know, with all budget messages, first of all, with all State of the City messages, what it is reinforcing the things that have happened in the past, looking at where we're going in the future, and setting that roadmap out there. The mayor talked about a number of positive things that he has initiated, as well as that are things that happened before he came to office. We look at GM and the fact that GM was retained in our area, and the fact that we have two state-of-the-art plants, and there are more buildings going to be added to the GM complex that's extremely important for our region. We talk about the redevelopment and some of the things that are happening there, the NAPS building, along with Jackson National Life and the things that watching 1,000 new jobs come into that arena.
But did he omit anything that really should have been in there?
Not that I'm aware of. Okay. You know, I mean, again, you have a half hour to lay this roadmap out, and doesn't give you a lot of time. And I think that he hit the high points of the things that he wanted to hit during this.
We need to talk about the Board of Water and Light a little bit. There's been a lot of discussion of greater representation on the BWL Board of Commissioners to include communities outside of Lansing. The mayor said last night he's open to that. Are you open to that as well?
I'm willing to have that discussion. I think the thing that's really important for the public to understand is the residents of the city of Lansing own the Board of Water and Light. That's part of the charter. First and foremost, over the last 120 years that the board has been there, much of the infrastructure that was built were paid for by the ratepayers of the city of Lansing. That allowed us to give services outside the city. It's going to be important as we have this discussion exactly what this would mean and what the entities outside the city would be looking for.
But you are open to the discussion. For that discussion.
Yes. Yes, it is.
There have also been suggestions that the BWL should consider payments not just to the city, but to the other areas it serves. What do you make of that idea?
Well, again, the city has, because it's a public entity, they do not pay taxes. And part of the pilot, the return that we receive on the gross revenues from the board is in lieu of those taxes. And again, the ratepayers and residents of the city of Lansing have helped build this company. So I think it's something that is worthwhile to discuss, but also understanding that the reason that many of these entities, whether we're talking Delta, East Lansing, the reason that they have those the option to have Board of Water and Light is because the residents of Lansing helped build that facility.
It's the history of the
Correct.
Board of Water and Light that's really relevant here in your view.
Yes.
These changes would require amending the city charter. How much work would that be?
Well, it's like anything else. You can pull the section out that you're dealing with, and that would be the section on the Board of Water and Light, and it would be something that would be brought to a vote to the public.
We're led to believe that all, or just about all, community review team meetings will be open. Are you confident that'll be the case?
No. Did you like that short answer?
Yeah, don't beat around the bush.
Yeah. My concern is that some of the statements that have been made by those that are in the leadership of this review committee, and the fact that they use words like burdensome to have discussions within the public to digest, to look through this material, that some of it might be better to have these discussions in private. Again, this is a public utility, and in order to bring back the faith and trust that so many of us had over the years in the Board of Water and Light, this needs to be an open process.
As a longtime city official, though, Carol, you clearly understand the importance and the value of the occasional closed meeting. Why is that not appropriate for General McDaniel and his team?
Well, under the Open Meetings Act, we are limited to the times that we can have closed door meetings. Is it more convenient at times? Are there times that you might be more candid? There are those opportunities, but again, this is our utilities. I am a stakeholder in this as well as Mr. Smith down the street is. And to make sure, again, that people can feel the transparency of government, that they can feel that everything is happening the way it should. I'm sure Hillary Clinton, when she stood before the Senate and talked about the things while she was Secretary of State, might have wanted some of that behind closed doors, but it wasn't. It was there for the public to see. It was there for everyone to err on the side of making sure that there was transparency and that the public understood what had happened.
Your successor as president of the City Council, Aileen Bowles, who again was scheduled to be with us here today but is not well, requested some seating changes at City Council meetings that's become a dispute. How will this get settled?
Well, again, that is under the prerogative of the president of council. When I was president, I had a number of council members come to me and talk to me about the seating arrangement and the fact that they wanted to make sure that our internal auditor was sitting on the dais. And based on their concerns, I did move the mayor and place the internal auditor on the dais with us to be able to answer questions.
And that never came to a vote, which is a topic now,
yeah,
from the city attorney.
It never came to a vote, and the city attorney sat next to me for that entire year and never said to me that I don't believe that you have the authority to do that and that you need to bring this to the council. And so again, Aileen did send out a seating chart and did ask for input from council members before this became public. To my knowledge, I don't believe she received any input other than from the city attorney, and her comment was, great, I really don't like being on camera anyways.
So it is within the president's authority to determine the seating.
I believe it is.
It doesn't need to come to a vote of the entire council.
I agree. It does not.
And it appears not to be explicitly addressed in the city charter?
No, it doesn't.
There was a lot of talk going into this last election about the desire for a more productive working environment among council members, as well as with the administration. This incident looks to some of the public like it's just going to be more of the same. What needs to happen in your view to ensure that the council's effective this year?
Well, you know, again, going back to the seating arrangements, I think there's been a lot blown up about it that didn't need to happen. You know, again, you mentioned that I made some changes when I was president, and we didn't have editorials on it. We haven't had all this other discussion. So I think, first of all, from the press perspective, let's put it to rest and let's move on to what is important. And part of that is looking at some of the things that we do have on our plate.
Okay.
BWL, I think, is extremely important that we have to work through that situation. Emergency management, to make sure that all of our plans from a city's perspective as well as the board's are in order, and working on some of the regionalism issues that we have out there and creating better partnerships.
Carol Wood is a longtime member of the Lansing City Council. We've been talking about Mayor Bernero's State of the City address last night and related topics. Carol, thank you.
Thank you.